Hey there, sit down, make yourself comfortable, and grab a cup of tea. Welcome to the 134th episode of Thea's Tea. Thanks for tuning in. For this week's episode, I am drinking some citronade, which I made with the girls I babysit, and they were so sweet. They were like, here, take some home. Let's fill up your water bottle. So it's basically just lemonade, you know. We cut the lemons, we squeeze them, we put in water, we put in sugar, we put in mint, and they just had a lot of fun with it. You know, they had a very specific way of doing it. So yeah, it was a fun, wholesome little experience. I got home, I put it in the fridge, and now I'm drinking it along with this episode. It's a very refreshing summer drink, and I must say they aced the proportions. It has a perfect flavor. We also made sure to cut up some slices or like bits of lemon to put inside and leaves of mint. So they say it infuses the flavor even better. And yeah, that's basically what I'm drinking today. What has been going on in my life recently? So the ending of last week was very social. I had a pretty social weekend. So of course, Thursdays are the nights of student nightlife here in Bordeaux. So it was a first official outing with my friends from university. Since the weather is nice, what we really like to do is just chill like next to the river. There's like grass, and so we'll do our befores there. Of course, we don't leave any trash or anything, but yeah, it's just nice to kind of like chill, talk, start drinking. And then we went to a cool bar, which is one of our goals for this year. You know, we felt like we were just always going to the same places over and over again. So for this year, we really want to spice it up and explore new places, which is what we did. And yeah, it was just really fun to like explore the city at night and revisit old places, see the same people again. It was a really fun time. And then on Friday, I went out again with my little Spanish circle. So it was great to see them again, speak Spanish again here in Bordeaux, and also meet some of their friends who had moved here as well. I don't know, it was like a really full circle moment because we were welcoming them and everything and thinking about the positions we were in a year ago when we were just arriving here, meeting each other, and the fact that now our group was expanding and welcoming like other generations was really fun. And once again, it's so nice to go out at night when the weather is still nice because you can really just run around and do anything and like chill outside without having a million layers and coats and just wanting to go home because you're freezing. So I'm trying to make the most of that while I still can. And then on Saturday, we went to a friend's house to celebrate his birthday, and it was really nice. It was a nice group. There was a pool, you know. We played card games, of course, had our drinks. And yeah, you know, it was just a really nice like little community. We'd all help each other with the cooking, the cleaning, and yeah, I really liked sort of the collective element of that experience because, you know, when you're a group and you go away somewhere for the weekend, it's like you get closer to like some people, you develop inside jokes, you know, you do the trajectories together, so it's like a bonding experience. I don't know, it was really fun to just sort of shake things up and not have a weekend, you know, in my apartment in the same habitual routine, because I remember that last year it did feel kind of repetitive. So the fact that I could kick things off with a nice, fun, different weekend was really beneficial. Needless to say, it wasn't really a weekend filled with much rest, and I've been feeling the consequences this week. I've just been tired every day. You know, I've found myself like yawning at 11 a.m. and then being tired early at night. But it's okay. I've just really been trying to have like a well-rounded experience. I've been talking about that through the past couple of episodes, saying how I want this year to be balanced, you know, how I want to incorporate different elements into my life and to not make it feel monotonous and just really enjoy my day-to-day, which I can wholeheartedly say that I have absolutely been loving every single day I've had here since I've arrived. You know, they've all been different. There's been something fun to all of them. And yeah, you know, it's been sort of a different frame of mind for myself to be like, well, technically I have these things to do, but realistically they're not that urgent, so I could maybe afford to do this fun activity and take care of those things later, within reason, of course, which was something that I didn't do that much last year because I would just get stressed out and be like, no, I have to do this, I have to do this, and kind of like close myself off. But now I'm trying to really just branch out, you know, live it day by day, try to enjoy things as they come, say yes to spontaneous things, and find a way to like work in those other responsibilities. So this week I have had more classes, so it's been a nice gradual augmentation. The first week I barely had any. This week I have a few more, and next week tutorials start, so I will have a much heavier workload, but I really appreciate the fact that it was so progressive and that it really let me, you know, adjust back to school life and little by little increase my academic work and decrease, you know, my social outings. So I feel like that transition has just been very smooth, and I was thinking in retrospect, it has never been like that in other semesters, because this is the semester in which most classes I have that are divided into lectures and tutorials. In other semesters, I've had a lot of like integrated classes, so they were all kind of like smaller groups, and you know, they started like with full on speed from the beginning. So that's why it's been so gradual this semester. So yeah, I've been, you know, slowly picking up the workload, getting into the nitty gritty of the classes. There's a lot of math, there's a lot of numbers. I know I can't be surprised, but it's still shocking that we're relying so heavily on math in other classes, and that our teachers from other classes are acting as math teachers and just really going in depth in like mathematical, you know, processes and operations. So yeah, that's a little startling, but it's been good. And as I mentioned, I'm trying to measure, you know, how to keep up with the classes and, you know, continue living a fun life. But so far, so good. Another big exciting thing that has been going on is that we have been welcoming the students from the international track of the next generation. The international track is like this sub program I'm in at university, which groups a couple of different majors. And we have some classes in English, we have minors in English, and we do an exchange in the last year of our like university degree. And it's basically like a tight-knit community because the university is so big, there are so many people in all of the majors. So the first big way we started to meet people was within this international track, even people like across majors. So we've been welcoming the new generation, you know, the incoming freshmen, if you will, and it has been so exciting. I don't even have words for it. My friends and I are so hyped up, especially since we're just reminiscing about how it was for us a year ago, and we're seeing them around the campus and like in the lecture halls and just thinking back to when we were in their positions and just so excited for what's to come for them and, you know, for us to like get to know them and do lots of things during the year. So yeah, that has been such a fun experience, and I'm co-leading like the planning, so it's been fun. There are many little activities that can take up my time, which I'm enjoying all of them, you know, like taking care of the Instagram, planning the activities we're doing, assigning people to their godparents, you know, it's just been super fun. I really love these types of extracurricular activities. As I mentioned in previous episodes, I've been trying to make sure that I have a balanced, you know, plate of like academic activities, extracurricular activities, and just different things to pour myself into, I guess. So yeah, that's been like my academic life recently. I babysat yesterday, as I mentioned, you know, that's where I got my drink from. So that's also a really lovely sphere of my life that I have going. Yesterday, I also watched the football game. It was Germany versus France. We lost, sadly, but it was amicable, so it's not too deep. I love watching football, not because I understand the game, but because I feel like it's such an important cultural act. I mean, seeing people get together with a common experience, you know, making a day of it, getting drinks or getting food, watching the game in front of the big screen, wearing their country's colors, like, I love it. I think it's so cute, and I always accept those types of plans, even if I don't understand anything about the sport. But, you know, even those who do understand don't spend more than 5 minutes total looking at the screen. I just love how it turns into, you know, a different type of, like, social event, and we all chat and catch up at the end of a day. I don't know, I find it really cool, so I was happy to partake in that. And yeah, that really just gives you like a gist of what my life has been like recently, the different activities I've been up to. So yeah, I'm very happy with how things are going. Today we're doing an episode that I am very shocked I have not done already. I kind of have a fear that it is somewhere posted and I completely lost memory of it, but I looked through all my records, all my previous show notes, you know, my iCloud where I have all of the episodes, and I just couldn't find it anywhere. So if there already is an episode of Thea's Tea called Fake People out there, please let me know. And also, I think you can enjoy this one. Compare what I said in that episode, if it exists, versus now. These are opinions that I've had for quite a while, but I feel like now I'm able to, you know, articulate them and express them and just have the certainty that I've had them for long enough so I can confirm their validity. There will be some hot takes in this episode, I'm letting you know from right now, but yeah, overall I'm just going to be talking about, you know, fake people, how I think they play a role in our society, phases that maybe we as human beings inevitably go through where this side can be sort of enhanced. Also, a really big dilemma I have regarding what is considered being fake and what isn't, and how to get along and coexist with fake people by taking care of and protecting yourself in the process. This may be a shorter one, but I have some very clear points that I want to share with you, and I did want to fill in the rest with sort of like blah blah. So yeah, hopefully you'll enjoy, maybe resonate with some things, maybe not, which is okay as well. I would love to hear your opinions. You can always write to me on Instagram DMs or send me a voice message. The link's in the show notes, along with everything else I mentioned in this episode and important resources. So yeah, without further ado, let's dive right into it. A phenomenon that I want to start off by talking about is the freshman hyper sociability. I've had this conversation with two of my friends already, attending different universities in different continents, so it seems that it's a pretty universal concept. And the reason I've been thinking about this again is, as I mentioned, you know, seeing all the newcomers at my university and just remembering what that experience was like for me a year ago. So talking with these friends, we could all kind of agree that the first weeks of university, everybody is trying to be like hyper social, go out a bunch, talk to a bunch of people, you know, meet people, start talking to them, start texting them, like hanging out or just, you know, like passing time together, like tagging along to run errands, you know, anything that can be done by more than one person, they try to do it, you know, even if it's not meant for that. Like, you don't need somebody to help you run an errand, you know? But yeah, you know, that was very much the vibe. And I remember that people were like, I mean, like, in my head, it was a personal tally about how many people you could recognize, how many people, you know, you think could, like, say your name because you had already talked to them. And in my experience, it felt very competitive, you know? It felt like you were constantly being watched, like you were constantly on a microscope, like one wrong move and it was over for you. Like if you said no to one plan, the rest of the group was going to bond without you and they weren't going to invite you next time. Around this time, a year ago, I recorded an episode on FOMO precisely because of that entire experience I was living. And it felt like the only way that experience could not be stressful for you was if you were 100% like on top of your game and 100% like sure that you were accepting every social opportunity, you know, talking to as many people as you could, making as many new friends as you could. Like only at that moment you could be at peace with like your social reputation. And like if you slacked off for even 1 second, it was over for you. So when I started to realize that that was being the dynamic, you know, playing out for my life personally, I just kind of gave up and detached. I was like, I don't want to stress about this anymore. And I kind of let go and I watched as how everybody else kind of in my eyes was connecting more, you know, doing all of these things. And I had kind of let go already, even though it pained me, you know, it's not like I rose above them or anything. It was like letting go because I felt like I was already out of the race and just kind of like watching them develop their interactions. And just kind of knowing and trusting blindly the fact that things would continue to develop and transform and shift and eventually the right people would come to me, but I didn't want to be like chasing anything. And that was true. I mean, I kind of had to tell it to myself without entirely knowing it a year ago, but then I very much realized, like, I can tell you all the different stages these friend groups have had. When I thought, you know, the initial way was going to be permanent, you know, and that was what really upset me because I was like, no, you know, these people are already best friends. That's the way it's going to be forever. Like, I'm locked out. And then a week later, you would notice they were kind of like distancing themselves. And then a month later, that new group transformed again. So it was really just like letting go and trusting the process. And now I can say that I found the right people for me, you know, that I have developed some really good friendships. So it was just kind of a matter of letting go and detaching myself from the process and really just like taking a step back from all that hyper sociability and trying to get along with everybody and just letting them, you know, like run their clown circus and chilling, you know. But it was from a place of like insufficiency where I felt like I didn't have what it took to participate in that race. Like, I'm telling you, I would see people out all the time that now I haven't seen like a single story of them out. You know, it's like we were really like extreme in that sense. And I don't want it to come off as like, yeah, I'm better than everybody else. You know, I just didn't partake in that, because I did try to, and I felt really bad when I just kind of noticed that there wasn't anything in it for me, because I felt like everybody had progressed too far, which in retrospect wasn't true at all. Like, you know, at any moment you can start connecting with people or kind of like get back in that race, if you want to call it like that. But yeah, it was just very upsetting. And for me, I felt like constant FOMO, you know, when I decided to like take, I didn't decide, but I just kind of found myself a step behind, you know. It really hurt me to see how these other people were still bonding and doing things. And I don't want to hate on this experience, because I truly feel like it's a canon event. Like, it's something almost beautiful in the sense that we all go through it and that we all live it in the college, you know, phase. But what I don't like was how it made me feel, you know, how upset I was when I felt like I was behind in the race, and, you know, how it feels like, you know, you connected with one person and then you see that they went out with a bunch of people and they didn't even invite you, but it's like that person was looking out for themselves because their priority is for them to make friends. So it's just a really toxic environment, I would say, at least the way I lived it, coming from a place of insecurity. Maybe it's like super enjoyable for some people, but that's only in the circumstances I said before. If like you feel like you've given your all and like you're really in, I feel like at that point it can be really cool. But otherwise, it's pretty stressful, I'd say, for everybody. So when you're kind of in this buzz of trying to make as many friends as possible, you know, you're trying to give off your best impression to everybody, get along with everybody, say what everybody wants to hear. You know, if you see some people talking about some interest, then you'll maybe enhance that side of you. And maybe at some point when you're so desperate to connect with people and you see them talking badly about somebody else, then you'll join in on that conversation, maybe just to seek their validation. And I know that's like the typical example your mom will tell you, but these things keep on happening. You know, it's not only in high school, in college, we find ourselves in those situations as well. So you kind of do end up being fake in desires to like please everybody and make as many friends as possible. And when you're so worried about everybody liking you, you rarely ask yourself if you like them, which is a tale as old as time. But that's what I really feel about this experience, you know, like in retrospect now that I'm not like in that hyper social phase of like trying to get to know everybody. I just feel like at that point I was so desperate to, you know, make friends and get along with everybody that I was like, a win is a win, you know, any person who seems to like me is a bonus. Like, it doesn't even matter if I like them. Like, it just wasn't even on my radar, you know, asking myself if I genuinely thought they were cool people. You know, it was just like a plus one, you know, another person to add to the list. And I'm not saying that the experience of trying to branch out and make new friends makes you a fake person. I'm just more so referring to that example that I said of like, maybe you'll start talking badly about another person with these other people to fit in. And certainly if you have a strong character and like a clear moral compass, then you're completely like beyond this, you know, it won't even be a risk. But at least in my case, I know it kind of is. And I just don't think I can be trusted that much under circumstances like this. So that's why I feel that in personalities like mine, it's easier to pull out a fake side of me or a person that is fake to people, you know, when I feel like it's a challenge, like I'm in the jungle and like it's me against everybody else. So I need to make the best impression at whatever cost. I'm just saying that it's really easy to get lost in this type of scenario when you're wanting to please everybody. And I'm speaking 100% from my experience, from what I've lived, from what I perceived in myself and in those near me. But this can totally go another way, you know. Other people can have a completely different account of their freshman year socially. And there are people that manage to be 100% true to themselves and authentic, regardless the circumstances, regardless the peer pressure. And those are to admire. But I think I can speak for a large group of people when I attest to this version of the facts. Discussing something else now, I want to voice something that has been on my mind for probably like 5 years now. And it is, where do you draw the line between being fake and being cordial, I guess? I remember having this discussion with one of my friends in high school who seemed to be friends with everybody. But then I would kind of hear her talking badly about some of these people. And I was also like, there's just no way you like everybody, you know? So we got into, you know, a conversation about this, you know, what we thought was the limit for each one of us. Now, the point I argued was like, well, I'm not going to be like super nice to people that I don't even like. You know, I don't want to give them the wrong idea, the idea being that I like them. And for me, at that point, there was just no way to justify like trying to be super kind to people knowing that they weren't your favorite person in the world, you know. But the other person argued that it wasn't like that wasn't the case at all, that it was simply them being cordial and polite and, you know, making small talk with everybody there, even if they weren't best friends. Like, it wouldn't hurt the other person or themselves to just try to get along in the circumstances they were put together, and that it wasn't anything more than that. And at that point, I very much disagreed with that perspective. I was like, this is just a way to embellish being fake, to make it sound prettier, to make it sound like, you know, something organic, you know, that comes from your heart, that you just want to spread good and love into the world. But deep down, it's just, you know, a person being fake. And I must say that now in retrospect, I kind of agree more with that other side than with the perspective I had at the time. Today, I would argue that there's nothing wrong with making a bit of conversational small talk with people that you don't particularly like, if, you know, you're alone in a room together or you're put in a situation. I feel like that's much more beneficial for both parts than, you know, ignoring each other or being rude to each other or, you know, being passive aggressive. I would say it almost becomes like an instinct of self-preservation and of like prioritizing the good of the community, you know? Like wanting there to be a good environment for everybody there, a good ambiance, you know, not wanting to make other people uncomfortable. But then you could argue that this is really taking things to another extreme, you know, and it's prioritizing, you know, living up with the status quo and making sure that others aren't uncomfortable at the cost of your own opinions of the world, you know. It could be said that people are asking you to keep up with appearances, to not make others uncomfortable, and to not, you know, ruin an event or something. That can also be argued for. And I don't exactly know how to dismiss that side. But, you know, in my head, in my current values today, I just kind of say that, you know, if I'm, you know, found with a person that I may have, you know, talked badly about on a previous occasion, I kind of like see this as an opportunity to let them prove me wrong. And it has happened. You know, I had complained to this one girl. No, I complained to my friends about this one girl. And then we were found like one-on-one. And I started talking to her and she was like, really cool. So it really like reframed the vision I had of her. And so it was like, okay, well, you know, if I hadn't started that small talk out of politeness, then I wouldn't have gotten to know how cool she is. And I immediately, you know, went back to the friend I had talked to and I was like, I take back what I said, you know, I actually had a conversation with her today and she's really cool. So yeah, I feel like if you get so caught up in your stubbornness of like, I don't like this person, I don't owe them anything, I'm not going to be fake, you're not letting yourself potentially get to know them and transform the perception you have of them, which is a shame, you know? I'm not saying you have to, you know, declare your love for them, wow them with gifts, like that's clearly overcompensating. But I'm just saying, you know, being polite to other people doesn't hurt anyone, it doesn't cost you anything, and I think that it's perfectly okay to, you know, be polite with people that you've said you don't like or that you've thought you don't like and potentially allow yourself to change that narrative. So there you go. That's really just another perspective that I found on these types of situations. And it's kind of recognizing that at times you can be the fake person. You know, I feel like people are so quick to judge, like, oh my gosh, I hate fake people, I hate liars, you know, blah, blah, blah. But I feel like we all have a little bit of this inside of ourselves. And as I said, like, it's a very human trait. I feel like it comes greatly from self-preservation and wanting to fit in and wanting other people to like you and just wanting to say what they want to hear. But in almost a selfish manner, it's more beneficial for yourself if you're kind to everybody, you treat everybody well, and you don't have like beef with anybody directly. And if maybe you're hesitant about some people, you keep those thoughts to yourself if you feel like you don't have enough resources to, you know, discuss it. By resources, I mean like tangible examples of experiences you've had with these people. Because in my case, sometimes I would talk badly about people knowing that I had never had like an actual interaction with them, and you know, that's not fair to them. So I feel like a more fair option would be to just keep those thoughts to yourself, and then, you know, if you get the opportunity to get to know them a little bit better, keep an open mind, and that way you're not being fake because you didn't vocalize it. But then that leads us to the question, is it not being fake just because you didn't vocalize it? I'll let you guys answer that one. If you're listening on Spotify, you should be able to see a Q&A box and feel free to leave your answer there. Or a poll. I don't know what I'll do. In short, I feel like this is a really ambiguous topic, but I must say, I feel like the people that don't view interacting with people you said you didn't like as fake are overall just happier. You know, it's like a way that they don't complicate their life. And I feel like if you can understand that and make peace with that according to your moral values, it's a great way to go. Now let's discuss getting along with fake people from one fake person to another. So I just must say it's super nice when you're with a fake person, but you're on their good side. You know, fake people, when you're interacting with them face to face, they are super pleasant. They are a blast. They're saying everything you want to hear. You know, they're just a good time guaranteed, but it is impossible to be loyal to yourself and have that impression on everybody you meet. So you must know that they are kind of adapting their personality according to the circumstances they're in. And now in my life, when I kind of have this realization or understanding of a person, or have heard that they tend to be fake, talk badly about other people, or have seen it for myself, and I find myself interacting with this person now, it doesn't faze me as much as it once did. Going back to that example I talked about in high school when I was talking about this friend, when I started to realize she had a completely different perspective on being fake than I did, I just kind of felt that like every time I was with her, like my heart broke a little bit more because I was like, well, we're having a good time here, but then she's just going to go and like talk badly about me, or, you know, become besties with the people we were criticizing or things like that. But now that's not the case. When I find myself engaging with a person that I kind of know is fake, I just enjoy the moment, you know? I'm like, well, I mean, face to face, like right now the time we're spending is good, you know, we're having a laugh, we're having some good conversation, but I kind of like block out what they could do as soon as the interaction ends. Now, I don't know if that's like a defense mechanism or like trying to live in blissful ignorance or something, but I don't know, my perception over that has changed, and similar to the last example, I'm much happier since it has. I feel like it comes with an understanding that people have like lots of facets towards them, and the fact that you're able to enjoy like this particular one is kind of a blessing. You know, maybe they can screw you over later and it's not so cool, but I don't know, I just feel like at least that little moment you guys enjoy together, like, you know, that's fun. And I guess I view human connection as something different now and much more valuable. So maybe the fact that you could have it even for a second, even if it wasn't organic or you realized later that it wasn't, I feel like being able to enjoy it in the moment is really a gift you can give yourself. And I wouldn't want myself to snatch that away from me sooner than I have to, you know? And the wildest part about all of this, in my opinion, is that I kind of believe in killing them with kindness. Like, seriously believe that if I'm kind enough to them, they will abandon their fake tendencies. Like, I know that sounds insane, but I truly believe that if I'm a good enough example, that if I, like, share enough love and kindness and like connection and bonding with them, they will realize that they don't need to be fake anymore. And note the choice of words. I used don't need to be fake anymore because I feel like being fake can definitely come from a defense mechanism, as I said before, and sometimes people feel the need to do that in order to be loved and appreciated by different people at different times. So that kind of explains the logic behind my reasoning of killing them with kindness because I think that somehow I can save them and save humanity as a whole. And I also must say that I think one part of this newfound perspective over being fake is that I've accepted that I'm quite fake too, and I live up to it, and I accept it. I feel like people around me can call me fake, but not before I do, because I am very much aware of that reality, and it aligns with a lot of the things I've said, especially that like desire for connection, with different people. Like sometimes, seeing a conversation being steered in a certain direction and thinking I can contribute, maybe if that is talking badly about somebody else, but in the search of like connecting with this person, and that does not justify it under any circumstances. But it's like in the movies when they say like hatred for a common person unites us. Like that really is the way it feels. So, yeah, I mean, it sucks that it takes something like that to feel a certain type of connection with a person, but I don't know. I feel like in a world where everybody's pretending, where everybody, is doing this, is doing that, it's liberating to agree with another person that you just don't like somebody else and that you dislike the same traits in other people and that you both like reaffirm that you are like that you don't share those things. I don't know. I feel like it's a really unique type of bonding, and I know it sucks, like, but I don't know, I just feel like there's that whole other side to understand to it. And also, going back to what I was saying about the beginning, when I just tried to enjoy the moment with the person I was with, even though I knew they were fake, I'd honestly like to think that the most important part of your relationship with somebody is the face-to-face time you have, but in reality, it's not. What people say around about you behind your back is so important. Like, if people talk well about you behind your back, like that proves they're gold, that they respect you, that they view you in such a high manner, and that they're not afraid to share that with others. And, when people talk badly about you behind your back, it says the complete opposite. So I do feel like that shows a lot about how the other person views you. But at the same day, like if you never hear those things, then it won't have any impact whatsoever on your direct relationship with the person. But if you knew the whole story, I think it would impact quite a bit your dynamic with these people. So I feel like it's understanding both of those things and the balance of only how much you can know about a person and only how much a person is willing to let on. That sums it up for today. I just really wanted to have a conversation around fake people, both from the perspective of sometimes being a fake person and, interacting with fake people around you. I know that some of the things I may have said will be unpopular opinions, but I just had to get it off my chest. Hopefully, you were able to at least understand my perspective, even if you don't agree with it. I love talking about these types of things, so don't be afraid to engage in conversation or, propose like these topics to your friends. I feel like it could pave the way for some really interesting discussions. So to recap, we talked at the beginning about freshman hypersociability, how people want to be friends with everybody and are willing to go a long way just to make that happen. Then we questioned where to draw the line between being fake and just being polite. We talked about the implications of each side, what that can look like, and which one we think, we being me and all my other alter egos, can make you happiest and just most at peace. Lastly, we talked about getting along with fake people and just trying to do so in a way that doesn't hurt you, that is comfortable and fun for you. Also, trying to keep both feet on the ground and not getting delusional and not thinking that the world is a beautiful place where nobody will screw you over, but also just appreciating the good moments you have with people, even though there may also be bad moments. That's what I really wanted to try to get at. Well, that's about it for this episode. I would like to clarify that I am not a specialist. Everything I share is based off of my experience and what I've learned. Don't forget to follow the podcast Instagram at TheST Podcast. I'm very active on there. It's a visually aesthetic platform built with interactive spaces for us. Please tag me on your stories and send me pics listening with your tea. Also, please rate, review, follow, and subscribe. Whatever your platform lets you do, it would help me out a lot. Because reviews are the only way I can start growing, getting recommended to new people, and being included in rankings. Plus, I read reviews on here, so if you want to be featured, go on right ahead. Please spread this episode with any friends or family you think will like it. I would love it for you to share your thoughts on this podcast. You can send me a voice message directly through Anchor or through my email, thestpodcast@gmail.com. You can reach out for business inquiries and set up sponsorships through there as well. Make sure to check out the show notes. There's a bunch of fun stuff listed down there, alongside with links to everything I mentioned here today. Remember, you can join me every Thursday for a new episode, including the last one of every month with the guest, and an additional bonus monthly Q&A. Thank you for your time, and for joining me in my little corner of the internet. I appreciate you. Thanks for tuning in, have a beautiful week, and a wonderful existence.